Ok.
Hello, and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Excuse me. My name's Kirsten. I'm an alcoholic. In effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you'll not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you're new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and you're looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and you've had a spiritual awakening and you're willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except when the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you'll find our AA quote of the day, and that source will always come from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, and then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout rooms end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. And I don't believe I've asked a friend to read the 12 steps. Do we have anyone that is able to read the 12 steps handy? If not, I can. Let me just, sorry about that. I made a mistake. So, okay, I'll read them. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, the step we're on today, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So with that, today we're going to hear a talk on step 12. And please give a warm welcome, everyone, to Suzanne A. from Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome, Suzanne.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. My name is Suzanne. I'm an alcoholic. It's only been through working the 12 steps and having a home group and working with a sponsor that I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink since January 11th, 1995. And for that, I'll always be grateful. All right. So I can only share my experience, strength, and hope. And today, step 12, and I'm looking at the 12 and 12 to get more info. missing my cover, but yeah. 12th step. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. It's really three parts that I see there. But having the spiritual awakening, because I did steps 1 through 11 first. that's why this one's last. And carrying this message to who? To the still sick and suffering alcoholic. And practicing these principles in all our affairs. Not some, all. All right, so let me qualify myself so that you know I'm one of you. just quickly, I grew up in an alcoholic household. My father was an alcoholic. He got sober when I was about 17, 18, but by then I was moving out. So I knew him to be an alcoholic for most of my growing up. My mother, man, she should have been an Al-Anon, but she was not. And it was just a crazy household. And there was a lot of drinking, a lot of parties, family parties, everybody drank. It was just the thing to do. And they had no problem with giving the kids drinks, you know, letting them sip the drinks, you know, especially I liked the sweet ones, because they tasted like candy. So I don't know what back then, grasshopper, pink squirrel, pink lady, I'm not really sure what they were called, but they were delicious. And I liked the way they felt, made me feel, you know. And I would sneak sips of drinks where I could if I wasn't giving one, if I was asked. So, you know, grew up, and it's like funny how us alcoholics always seem to attract each other, you know. In school, I just wound up finding the kids who like to party and, you know, big party cup with like this much vodka, a little bit of orange juice, because, you know, hey, we're not alcoholics, you know. And you know, the more you drank, the cooler you were and stuff. And just always trying to chase that buzz. That was my thing. And so got married to my high school sweetheart, and because he could drink like me, big football player, and we both drank, and so we did a geographical cure. We got married, and our honeymoon was to go almost across country, place we never really you know, knew anybody. We didn't have jobs, and you know, my drinking just totally took off. I can't promise if I'll have one drink. I can't promise if I'll have 12 drinks. Not sure. Don't know. So for the most part, marriage didn't really work out. So moved back across the country, and then my drinking really took off. And I kept chasing that elusive high, that buzz, because after all the drinking and stuff, and not being able to stop, I realized I just couldn't get enough alcohol. I could not get to that place, that elusive buzz that I wanted to get to. And it just you know, I was miserable, you know. I didn't think I was an alcoholic. You know what I thought? I thought I was having a nervous breakdown. That's what I thought. You know, I'd read all these self-help books and you know, because my father was an alcoholic, so not me, you know. And I thought I was having a nervous breakdown, and you know, my marriage was falling apart, and it just, I remember, and there's a saying, we're only as sick as our secrets. I remember sharing with a woman that I worked with, you know, my husband wasn't coming home. I think he's an alcoholic, you know, because, you know, I'm pointing my finger at everybody else, not me, you know. And she happened to belong to what they called ACOA. I think they call it ACA now, but it was called Adult Children of Alcoholics. And she asked me if I wanted to go to a meeting, and I knew the meetings, the AA meetings, because my father went, you know. Then he would leave his little pamphlets all over the place. Really annoying. Easy does it. I hated that, you know. So I went. Well, she said, do I want to go to a meeting? I said, no, not really. And then she told me she was celebrating and there was free food. And so yes, then I free food, I'm in. I will be there, you know. So I went to this meeting, and I started to hear things, you know, the characteristics of growing up in an alcoholic household. And I thought, man, That is why I'm like I am. My father's an alcoholic. I'm pretty sure my soon-to-be ex-husband is going, is an alcoholic. Everybody else, and as I got more and more involved in, the ACA, which is kind of like an Al-Anon, I went to a couple of AA meetings, and I started to identify, not so much compare, because maybe you drink beer and I drink vodka, so what? We both drank and couldn't stop. And that was where the connection was. And it was a whole lot more stuff going on. But anyway, it took me a while to realize that I really didn't need to be in the ACA Al-Anon meeting. I needed to be in the AA meeting. And I would go to open speaker meetings and hear people's stories and really start identifying. And sometimes when there was a Al-Anon and Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, I'd be actually in the wrong room, even though I really was in the right room. So anyway, eventually I did come into AA. I always say I came in through the side door. And well, I didn't really do any of the steps at the beginning, and I came late to meetings, I left early from meetings, I didn't talk to anybody because, I don't want you to know me. And I did this for quite some time, and I have to tell you, I was a dry drunk for almost 4 years. And then I said, you know what, this AA stinks, it doesn't work. Well, of course, what half measures avail us, what half? No. Half measures avail us nothing. So you get out of it what you put into it. And I really wasn't putting anything into it. So, and I almost went out. By the grace of God, I found this big book group. And I found this woman to be my sponsor. And she took me every week. We went page by page, the beginning of the big book, the first part. And she took time out of her life to work with me. And I was really surprised about that, and slowly, very slowly, did things start to work for me. But it took time because I was stubborn, and especially with some steps, I was like, I think I know a better way to do this, and I did not. So, which brings me to what I'm here to really talk about, which is step 12. So when I look in the 12 and 12, it says our 12th step also says that as a result of practicing all the steps, we have found something called a spiritual awakening. It also talks about if we practice all 12 steps of the program in our daily lives, we may find emotional sobriety, because I didn't have any of that. I did the steps, and I really had to have this step broken down. That's why when I first started, I was like, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps. Again, we had to do 1 through 11 first. We try to carry this message to, it says alcoholics. That's the primary purpose. When I'm in an AA meeting, I respect the room, and I'm talking about alcohol. And to practice these principles in some of our affairs, no, all of our affairs. That's the hard part. So let's see. Okay, so step 12. To me, it's a lot of giving back. When I look at, I think it's page 110 of the 12 and 12, it talks about how to be of service, how to give back. And this can be as simple as, setting up, making coffee, putting the chairs out, it does, maybe being the secretary or becoming a leader, leading a meeting, things like that. It doesn't have to be necessarily something else, like, but it can be sponsoring others. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know if I should be a sponsor. I don't think I can be a sponsor. Listen, if you got more days than the new person walking in the door, yeah, you kind of can. So, Life on life's terms. It's a learning experience, and I'm always learning more. I mean, I'm sitting here with a pen and the 12 and 12 just in case I see something else I need to underline, because every time I go through the book, something else was that in there? Yeah, it was always in there. Okay. Same with the big book, always underlining. Okay, so sponsorship is great. Setting up at meetings, leading meetings. I like here where it says, if our turn comes to speak at a meeting, we again try to carry AA's message. Well, what can I say when I'm speaking at a meeting? Experience, my experience, strength, and hope. That's really all any of us can do. When I share, I'm not really supposed to be giving you advice or my opinion, unless you specifically ask for it, which is usually before or after a meeting. But during the meeting, I'm supposed to share my experience, strength, and hope. It's actually said that way in the big book. Experience, strength, and hope. That's what we're sharing. Also doing service work, which I like. I've done a lot of leading of the meetings. I really like meetings that have greeters. So when you're walking in the door, you know what door to walk in. That was always a big fear of mine. I don't know. There's so many doors in the church. What if I walk into a church meeting? Here's how you get out of that. I say, is there an Al-Anon meeting here? So, no, I'm not, So that's how I get out of that one. So I just want people to realize, it doesn't have to necessarily be, you don't have to be the leader, but even just giving somebody a ride to a meeting is 12-step work. Picking up the phone, calling somebody, that's 12-step work. Why? Because you're carrying the message. You're calling one alcoholic, working with another, calling another alcoholic, and for those few moments, you didn't drink, and the person you called didn't drink. And I know the phone is like 1,000 pounds, and this is what my sponsor had told me. Try to call at least two new women a week. That way you expand your network. And yeah, I didn't know what to say. And plus, I didn't really know anybody because, it was really hard for me to talk to people. So this is what I did. I would call somebody and I would say, hey, it's Suzanne from, that, Friday night meeting, and just calling to say, hey, I really don't have anything to talk about, but my sponsor says I need to call people. So, I called you. Okay, thank you. Bye. But it just got me out, and I was able to do it. And we've all been there. We've all had to make the phone call and talk to people, and so we get it, And I always thank people, hey, thanks for calling. Thanks for keeping me sober. And they're like, what? That's what we do. We help each other. We're carrying the message. With service work, it took me a long time in AA before I actually did something like GSR, the group service rep, because I didn't really know anything about that. I kind of wish I had a sponsor who introduced me to that sooner, because it really has brought my sobriety to another level, for lack of terms. And not just being of service, doing things inside my home group, but going and finding out information from the area of what's going on outside of our little tiny room, what's going on with AA, and then being able to bring that information back into a group conscious meeting with my group. And if there's something to vote on, taking our vote back to our delegate, who then brings it to the General Service Conference every year. And that really has just, I don't know, it's just brought me a different level of, I guess it's really ignited my sobriety. For a while there, you keep doing the same old, you keep getting the same old, same old. So it was like, okay, I feel like I'm resting on my laurels. I got to do something else, And, just stepping out and saying, okay, I'll be the GSR, And like, wow, I'm so glad I did that because it's really made a difference. Now, the thing is that in the spirit of rotation, you only have a 2-year term, and then you rotate out, and somebody else gets to have that, service commitment. So again, I was kind of afraid about it at the beginning, but and I don't know why. It's kind of like with the fourth and fifth step, it's like I was kind of afraid of it, but then after I did it, it was like, oh man, off my shoulders. Wow, why didn't I do this sooner? And that was the same thing like with going into the service work. It's like, why didn't I do this sooner? I feel so good, and it just, made such a difference. Now, when it talks about in the 12 and 12 about and to practice these principles in all our affairs, it does refer to us alcoholics that, hey, we're really good with the big things that happen and stuff, but it's the little things. And page 114, a greater challenge is in the lesser and more continuous problems of life. Our answer is in still more spiritual development. So, it also says that to practice these principles in all our affairs, well-grounded AA seem to have the ability, by God's grace, to take these troubles in stride and turn them into de demonstrations of faith. So, and page 116 is what I like a lot because it says, when we develop still more, we discover the best possible source of emotional stability to be God Himself. And then, if we really depended upon God, we couldn't very well play God. So that part really has helped me because, it's easy, it's well for me, it's easy to have the ego get a little inflated there, like, oh, look at Suzanne, she's doing all this stuff. But I got to keep it in check too because I'm not in charge, and to understand that God is in charge and that I'm working on my spiritual and emotional sobriety every day. That was a big one for me. So let's see here. This is a pretty long step in here. There's a lot going on. It does talk about not taking too extreme some of the things that AA brought back into your life. And I was always told, don't let the things that AA had bring back into your life, take AA out of your life, and that's, job, money, family, all that stuff. There was a study with some doctors on page 123 that the doctors weren't trying to find how different we were, us alcoholics, from one another. They sought to find whatever personality traits, if any, a group of alcoholics had in common. And then, of course, they found out that most of the alcoholics are still childish, emotionally sensitive, and grandiose, which cracks me up. But it's true, the whole thing about fear. On page 124, it talks about not striving to dominate, and not trying to feel self-important. We try to be humbly grateful and exert ourselves the more in a spirit of love and service. And I was told a long time ago, a grateful alcoholic will not drink. So in the mornings when I'm doing my prayer meditation that I've learned to do back on step 11 and 10, I just free flow, just write a journal of gratitude. What am I grateful for? And it could be like, hey, I have a hot cup of tea to, hey, I got a roof over my head, and I just write. And then I pick like five things and I send my sponsor a gratitude list. And then she sends me one back and I send my list to my sponsees. They send it back. And you know what? It just helps me to get into the right frame of mind, helps me to be positive because for this alcoholic, not only was the glass half empty, but I want to know who took my other half. Okay. So, I'm just, yay. So now when I start my day, it's like, yeah, you know what? The glass really is half full. Look at all that I have by working the 12 steps, and looking at the progress. And I do say this for some sponsees that I have. It's like, they don't think they have changed or, And I'm like, Where were you this time last year? Think about that. This November, where were you last year? Do you think life has been different? And most people say, yeah. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be, right? Because, this is progress, not perfection. This is, one day at a time. Let's see. The one thing I really like about is the last page, 125 in the 12 and 12. Understanding is the key to right principles and attitudes, and right action is the key to good living. Therefore, the joy of good living is the theme of AA's 12 step. This is an action program. You can't just talk the talk. I have to walk the walk. And I really like that this step ends with the we version of the serenity prayer. Grant us the serenity, courage to change the things we can. When I first heard the we version of the serenity prayer, I thought somebody just made it up. I didn't realize here it is. It's in here, Then again, when I was in early sobriety, I didn't realize the 12 steps were in the big book. I just thought they were on the wall or on the little plastic paper that we hand out for people to read. It was, yeah, whatever problem you have, solutions in the big book. I didn't believe that, but then after looking, it's true. So anyway, 12 step, the only way to get there is to do the first 11. And really, really grateful that I was asked to be here. Am I an expert on the 12 step? Well, not really, as you can see from my talk. But you know what? Somebody asked me to be of service, and I said yes. And I didn't say, well, I didn't have the time, oh, it's inconvenient. Guess what? Things that are inconvenient are really worthwhile, especially in service, and that's what I've been told. So that's what I pass on. Again, only my experience, strength, and hope. I'm not an expert. This just worked for me. And I'm hoping that perhaps you maybe got a nugget of something info that might help you also. So again, thank you for asking me to speak, and thank you for listening.